This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Bringing you more news today from the Illinois Pork Expo. Yesterday, I talked to Ted Funk, who serves as an environmental consultant for the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Ted spoke during a session about manure management and new rules and definitions. Ted, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You actually have done a presentation already, but before we talk about that, could you give us an overview of some of the work that you do with pork producers? And you're actually a retired engineer, so tell us a little about that as well.
Okay, well, I spent 33 years with the University of Illinois Extension going out and doing a lot of course, adult education and working primarily with livestock systems. And so when I retired, I got the opportunity with the Illinois Pork Producers Association to sort of continue some of the fun parts of that job, and that includes going out by request to individual farms and looking at their systems, giving them another set of eyes so that we can talk about possible challenges with environmental stewardship, talk about manure storages, land application, record keeping, any of those kinds of things to try to make their life easier and help them to be good stewards of the land and good neighbors.
One thing you mentioned you were talking about in your presentation was the nutrient loss reduction strategy, which farmers have been hearing a lot about this over the past year, and how that is related to manure management and also tile drainage. So share with us some of the things that were discussed.
Okay, well, the nutrient loss reduction strategy, of course, covers every aspect of life, you might say, in the state of Illinois. So all the citizens of Illinois have some stake in the nutrient loss reduction strategy. But the agricultural piece of the pie is pretty large because in terms of nitrates and also phosphorus contributions to the riverine sources that end up in the Mississippi River and the Gulf of Mexico, agriculture is a big player. So nitrate and phosphorus. As far as livestock production, they don't have a lot of specific charges, and the swine producers in particular have a fairly easy, fairly short list because they are often total confinement facilities. Everything is under roof. So the kinds of things that they are concerned with really goes back out to the crop production side of things. That is, how do they handle the application of manure, both the 4 R's, you know, how the timing and placement and that sort of thing, and also such things as tile drainage system inspection. I know the northern two-thirds of the state, we see a lot of tile drainage out there, and since that's such a big concern with the nutrient loss reduction strategy to control nitrate loss from the root zone of plants, livestock producers need to think about that as well as the crop producers.
You also said there have been some new rules that are in writing now that weren't before, some new definitions. Share with us what some of those are.
Yes, the Illinois Pollution Control Board, when it promulgated the latest round of rules, we call them the Title 35 regulations for agriculture-related pollution. Parts 501 and 502 were completely redone and released in August of 14. That sounds like a long time ago, but still, it takes that long for agencies and for producers and commodity groups to get up to speed on just how those are going to be implemented. And the definitions have been put down in writing, so there's a lot more text available in parts 501 and 502 than we had in the previous version. And by the way, the previous version came out in 1991, so you think about how long it takes to get a set of rules changed. It's a long, arduous process with a lot of stakeholders at the table. But it's been interesting to see how both the agency and the producer groups can work with these new rules. So, for instance, the definitions are now down in the text about such things as what constitutes injection of liquid manure, what constitutes incorporation, what's a vegetated buffer, how wide is a vegetated fence row. Those sorts of things are now down in the definition, and it really changes the way things are interpreted and how folks have to think more carefully about their management practices just to stay within the letter of the law.
Anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share, or any advice for farmers for being environmental stewards, as I'm sure we are fearing that regulations are going to be increasing as we move towards the future?
Well, I think I don't know whether we should fear regulation as much, but we should certainly be involved. We should know what's coming down the pipe and also be involved as stakeholders, be involved in your commodity group and make sure that your voice is represented at the table. Because if you don't speak for your commodity and for common sense, lots of times we get unintended consequences with new regulation that really is difficult to live with. So we need to really be involved as an industry in any new regulation and the conversations that take place before those regulations become in print.
Environmental consultant for the Illinois Pork Producers Association, Ted Funk. We'll be back with more after these messages. Farmers cannot afford to spend more on crop insurance. That's according to Michael Swanson, the chief agricultural economist at Wells Fargo, who told the Crop Insurance and Reinsurance Bureau recently that if federal crop insurance premiums decrease, farmers will reduce their coverage levels. He said farmers currently spend about 4% of their budget on crop insurance premiums, according to the Hagstrom report. Swanson explained that a typical crop farmer's spending includes 30% of the budget for land rents, 26% on manufactured inputs, including machinery, 10% for seed, 10% for farm labor, and 6% for crop chemicals. Although farmers complain to bankers about the cost of crop insurance, it's not mispriced, Swanson said, because the cost has been about the same for the past 15 years. In World Ag News, China is reportedly preparing to sell aging stockpiles of corn to companies to churn out products such as ethanol or starch, according to a report by Reuters. The move would come even as a stockpiling scheme to support farmers is expected to add record amounts of new grain. The government has yet to finalize the volume or prices for the sales, but did ask selected firms to take part. China is the world's largest buyer of corn and corn substitutes, and any significant change in grain use could impact demand for imports. Beijing is holding about 10 million tons of aging corn that has been stored for more than 3 years. China has more than 200 million tons of corn stored overall, and that's more than 1 year's worth of consumption. The upcoming sales would be months earlier than the government's regular annual sales, which usually begin after April. And last but not least, we just finished up with the Illinois Pork Expo, but next week on February 24th, the Illinois Beef Expo begins. The expo takes place from the 24th through the 28th. The 24th kicks off the expo with a bull sale meeting in the evening. Thursday, the trade show opens up, and the remainder of the expo, there will be the trade show, several different sales and meetings taking place. And again, that's the Illinois Beef Expo taking place in Springfield at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. And that's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.